Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey everyone, it's musicologist Nate Sloan here. I have an announcement before we start the show. Many of you know I am a professor at USC Thornton School of Music, and coming up March 12th to 14th at USC in Los Angeles, California is the PopCon 26 conference, Mayhem, Pop Music and Writing in Perilous Times. PopCon is the annual conference devoted to the headiest thinkers and the most insightful people writing about music, and it's an incredible event, and it's completely free. All you have to do is go to popconference.org and register. In addition to panelists including Switched on Pop's very own Rihanna Cruz, all through Friday and Saturday, there are also some amazing keynotes. John Batiste is going to be in conversation with the dean of USC Thornton School of Music, Jason King, a brilliant pop music analyst himself. There's also going to be a panel devoted to the legacy of D'Angelo, and there's another panel thinking about Rihanna's album Anti 10 years later. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening. And again, all you have to do to register is go to popconference.org. It's completely free. Los Angeles, California, March 12th to 14th, and maybe I'll see you there.
What's that famous quote that's like, talking about music is...
It's like dancing about architecture?
Yes. If talking about music is like dancing about architecture, how do you talk about dancing?
I think the better question is, how do you dance about architecture? Because I feel like I've seen some really amazing dances about architecture. I'm the son of a modern dancer, so I've seen a lot of weird stuff.
All right, let's see where this goes. Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
It's hard to figure out how to talk about dancing. And yet Harry Styles has given us a dance album that I really want to talk about. It's called Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally. Let's see how it moves us, starting with the opening single, Aperture, that went number one when it debuted on the charts. Right from the beginning, we know what to do. We're supposed to be nodding our head.
Like this?
Just like that.
Yeah.
And we're nodding our head without any kind of drums or percussive element.
That's true. Yeah.
We get this synth pad, and it's ducking every quarter note. Sidechain compression. Wah, 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 wah. Right?
I was so hoping you're going to illustrate that with your voice, Charlie, and you did not disappoint. But do it a little more dramatically now.
Wah, wah, wah,
yeah.
Wah,
wah. Oh, yeah. I can now do that.
And then we get this trancey synth that's gating in and out. And you're like, I got to move my body.
At least the part of your body from the neck up.
Yeah, appropriate for a video podcast. No, we're going to move our whole body because we're going to get a kick drum that's going to tell us how we ought to move.
Yep. Started with the head, kind of moved down into the shoulders, down into the hips. Now my feet are moving. It's spreading.
We've got that Jersey club beat, you know, the beat that was pioneered in the Baltimore club scene, moved to Jersey, takes off in the 90s and 2000s, and somehow has become the dominant sound of the 2020s. Mm-hmm. I think about artists like Ice Spice. In the party, he just went all wrong. Big boobs in the bus, they plump. She a baddie, she knows she a 10. She a baddie with her baddie friend. Pink Panthers. Zara Larsson. Mm-hmm. That was Ice Spice's In Hamoud, then Pink Panther's Boy's a Liar, which Ice Spice did a remix with, followed by Zara Larsson's Midnight Sun. Zara Larsson also collabed with Pink Panther. So there was a continuity between those artists. And it seems like if you want to make a pop hit today, you need to reference that Jersey Club beat, that bump, 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 bump.
I think it's important we name all these references because they all have something in common with this Styles track, Aperture. It's all Jersey Club light, you know. It's like the whipped version of Jersey Club with all the rhythm and half the calories. This isn't the kind of DJ Slink production that would rattle the ceilings of a club in Newark. It's a little tame in comparison, but man, it still is groovy as heck.
And that is what we get at the very beginning of Aperture by Harry Styles. A track that could be equally indebted to LCD Sound System and the dance punk indie scene of Brooklyn in the 2000s. The bass from Dance Yourself Clean. The pumping pad from Someone Great. Or the synth sequence from Oh Baby.
So what is Harry announcing here?
Harry is making a call for a moment of dance floor unity by asking us to let more light into our life, regardless of what we might see.
I mean, that's a message I can get behind right now. I'm kind of sick of hearing people talk, honestly. I feel like we've talked a lot and it hasn't gotten anywhere. Maybe we need to embrace the common language of dance and see if we can't make some progress. So I'm here for some cathartic dancing for sure.
I'm not sure that the messages on this album are quite that grandiose.
I'm not sure there are any messages, to be honest.
Kiss all the time. Disco occasionally.
In reality, it might be the inverse. This album is disco all the time and Kiss occasionally, in my opinion. But maybe we'll see if listeners agree as we go through the rest of it.
So let's get a sense of where Harry is at. As a reminder, 32-year-old Harry Styles, he was in One Direction, 2010 to 2016. He's on his fourth album now. In 2017, he put out Harry Styles, 2019, Fine Line, 2022, Harry's House, personal favorite. And now after a four-year break, 2026's Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally, we find Harry in a big period of change in his life. After his last world tour, he took a bunch of time off from making music. He hopped around Europe from Paris to central Italy to clubbing in Berlin, gone through a few relationships and breakups. Tragically, his former bandmate Liam Payne died in October 2024.
Yes.
And part of Harry finding himself was out on the dance floor. He's giving us what I think is a sort of an existential album. He's working with his old collaborators, Tyler Johnson and Kid Harpoon. And I hear Harry trying to locate himself in the world and in the club.
Hearing that background makes this opening track, Aperture, a very fitting one, right? An aperture is a part of a camera lens that, as Harry sings in the chorus, literally lets the light in. And you have this sense of sort of an opening up, as it were, on this first track. And I'll be curious to find out what we see or hear over the course of the rest of this album.
I'd say that this is very much a songwriter's album in the language of dance. You still have acoustic elements, piano, nylon guitar, even marimba. And yet I think that he synthesizes electronic and acoustic elements really well, because I think Harry understands to a certain degree where the dance floor is today. When we were coming up making this podcast in the 2010s, it was progressive house. Huge drops that were like telling you when and how to move. Yeah. And now we live in a world of dance music that is, I think, sort of anti-drop, that it's about vibe. Ooh. It's about creating a mood that can move throughout the entire night, whether it's the ethereal sounds of Fred Again the glitchy organic beats of Fortet. Or the unyielding Berlin techno kick drums of Charlotte DeWitt. Dance music today, I think, has more in common with where dance music came from. You know, it used to be really hard to make synthesized music. You'd have to get all these drum machines and synthesizers, and you have to link them up together. And it was a lot of cabling, and it was very hard to build compositions. You couldn't easily move from verse to chorus, a big drop. Instead, you slowly turn knobs to enhance the feeling of a moment. And I feel like that's what's going on this record. A lot of long songs, a lot of chord progressions that stretch out and go throughout the entire song. And he's trying to put us in contemporary club music, but through modern pop. You know, this is still very much a Harry Styles songwriter album.
So 10 years ago, we were identifying the pop drop as one of the core elements of, you know, top 40 pop music. And now, a decade later, we're observing the opposite, the anti-drop.
The anti-drop, And some people might be asking, like, why is Harry making this sound? And he's explained it that, you know, partially it is like he was finding a sense of himself in dance. But I also think it's a very deliberate move. You know, he's working with the same collaborators. It's not like he's gone off to some other producers. They've really narrowed their sound. And I loved the sounds of Harry's House from 2022. You know, I think about that as this very luscious album with, if you related it to food, it would be like taking a stew with 20 different ingredients that all cook down all day, just like this flavor bomb of sonics. This record, on the other hand, is much more minimal. Every element of this dance music is handpicked. It's more like a French meal where it's like three simple ingredients done perfectly.
I was wondering where that food analogy was going.
Well, he was hanging out in Paris a bunch and going to cafes. You know, there's a certain like refinement to the way that he's approaching these productions and these lyrics. They're very plainly presented, and yet they are, you know, buttery and salty and yummy. And I think that's as far as I can stretch the food analogy. Let's take a listen to a few tracks to get a taste, if you will, of the dance grooves that he's putting together. And I think there's no better song to listen to than Pop. How is dance music supposed to make us feel?
Like architecture?
Yeah, exactly. This is a dark song.
It is, especially for a song called Pop.
Yeah.
That conjures images of sort of effervescence.
Yeah.
It's got this heavy 12-8 groove. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, da, 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 da. It's got these dark minor chords. It has these eerie synthesized textures, and it feels like pop in the sense of something's about to explode.
Harry Lowe says that he's about to pop. He's about to explode. I was trying to think about, like, what does this mean? Why pop in this form of presentation? And I think there's a real truth here. Harry has a way, I feel like, of always writing lyrics that are a little bit surrealist. They don't usually have a really clear narrative through line all the way. But then there will be like a killer pair, one line or something that just sticks with you. And here, this idea of pop making you feel like you want to explode. I feel like the dance floor is a place that we go to let loose, to let go of all of the terrible things that are going on in our lives, to feel free. And I think that pop music is kind of the same. We think of pop stars, I think, as needing to like portray effervescence, as you said, like everything is great. Pop sounds upbeat. But pop music is so often about displaying uncomfortable human truths against really upbeat music. And there's that dissonance between the two is, I think, generally what really pulls an audience into a song. It isn't about, I feel happy, upbeat, things are good. It's about sharing what's really going on. And at least for Harry, it's feeling like he's going to explode on the dance floor.
I remember when we listened to one of Harry Styles' first solo releases, Sign of the Times, back in 2017. And I remember being kind of surprised how opaque that song was, how sort of clouded and mysterious it was lyrically. And I wondered if that was just kind of an experiment of, you know, his first solo debut. And it actually seems to be really a theme through his songwriting. There's a lot of obfuscation and not a lot of like obvious parallels.
There's a lot of escapism in his music, isn't there?
I can imagine someone who spent the majority of his young adult life being hounded by fans and press wanting to escape. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
He's escapist. He's also a real student of pop music. Obviously, that song, Sign of the Times, a real strong nod to David Bowie, Space Oddity.
There's a whole episode about that song out in the archives.
Maybe also a little bit of the transition of Rocket Man. That great slide guitar. You can hear the same thing in Sign of the Times. And speaking of being a student of pop music, I think we really hear that come through on a song that really does dance and give us more upbeat vibes. The track, Dance No More.
Yeah.
All right, we got to stop it right there. I mean, off the bat.
Little scat. He loves to scat. He did some scat in Harry's house, as I recall.
Little scatting. That wasn't what caught my ear. I just was like, oh, you are making a chic sound alike. Everyone does. Everyone has to make a good times bass line.
Bernard Edwards core.
And then, sorry, Harry, I have to interrupt you. That guitar line, I believe I read that he is friends with Stevie Nicks.
Uh-huh.
That guitar sound is just straight up Edge of 17 to me. He's making us move with a little bit of nod to the past, but he's also very much in the present. Here's the chorus. That's one of those great Harry Styles lines. There's no difference between the tears and the sweat. What's happening on the dance floor is the catharsis. It is letting loose emotionally and physically. And I feel like, I don't know if this is what he means to say, but what I hear in this is like, DJs became so famous, especially in the 2010s, that what happened is the dance floor turned into a concert and people faced the DJ and they weren't moving with each other. And, you know, I think about that famous moment of of David Guetta just like losing his mind, staring out into the empty abyss, not moving, while a bunch of people at some major festival are kind of just like in cult-like movement to his sort of empty presence. And I feel like we have Harry Styles here saying, we got to turn away, like the DJs need to dance and be a part of the larger community. That's when the club feels really good.
Out of all the songs, I feel like Dance No More is closest to the disco promised in the song's title and in the disco ball that graces the song's cover artwork. With that chic reference you mentioned at the outset, with the Prince-style guitars, with that four-on-the-floor drum beat that seems right out of the 1970s. This feels like a throwback to a time when dance music was participatory.
You say it's a throwback. It fulfills some of the disco promise. And yet also some of his references on this album have nothing to do with the world of dance music. Check out the pre-chorus.
Move it side to side with your hands up high. Keep your customer satisfied and live your life.
In an interview with Apple, he said that Keep Your Customer Satisfied is a reference to the Simon and Garfunkel track Keep the Customer Satisfied from 1970. And it's not the only Paul Simon reference in the song. If you go a little bit further into Dance No More, there's a really fun little instrumental element that nods to another Paul Simon song. Any idea?
Respect your mother? Is that a line from Mrs. Robinson? I don't know.
No, this is how deep he goes. He's like listening to a bunch of Paul Simon. No, it's not lyrical. It's the instrumental little moment. Like I would have thought, I don't know, like a P-Funk Bernie Worrell keyboard line. In fact, it's a nod to You Can Call Me Al.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
He said that I guess that came about because when Paul Simon was recording You Can Call Me Al for the Graceland sessions, it was his bass player's birthday. And he's like, well, it's your birthday. You get your own little special slot. And Harry Styles' keyboardist, Yafra, was given the same leeway. Harry was just like, here's some bars. Do whatever you want.
But was it his birthday?
I don't know if it was his birthday.
Okay, we'll have to investigate.
Well, this is not the end of the Paul Simon references on this record. The final song on the album is called Carla's Song. Paul Simon has a song called Kathy's Song.
Yes.
And Carla's Song opens with a Simon and Garfunkel reference in the opening lyric.
There is a bridge that leads to troubled water.
Of course, a nod to Bridge Over Troubled Water.
And friends just can't be found like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down.
What is Harry Styles doing making all these Simon and Garfunkel references? I don't have any other grand theory other than an appreciation.
Could we say he's putting the funk back in Garfunkel? Wow, that was kind of a Charlie joke right there. I don't know. I was like channeling your dad joke instincts.
That's really mean to make fun of yourself by making fun of me.
No, I was honoring you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
Nate, are you even listening to me?
Who? What? Who? What'd you say?
We got to move on to the next song. Are you listening yet?
God knows your life is on the brink. Your therapist, well fed. The fix of all fixes. An intimate sex. You like the way she talks. Never what she says. You've had your tummy tickled. Are you listening yet?
This is working it out on the dance floor.
I like it. It's a little more sardonic than we've heard from Harry in the past.
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of saying, I'm here working it out. I've paid my therapist a lot of money. I am looking for fulfillment in romantic relationships that are fundamentally unfulfilling. And this line of you've had your tummy tickled. What?
Don't love that. Don't like that at all, honestly.
I think it's a great example of this Harry Styles surrealist style of lyric writing where it's sort of like non sequitur experiences that all paint a sort of collage of what's going on with Harry Styles. Clearly, there is something amiss in his life. And I think this call of, are you listening yet, To me, it almost sounds like he's talking to himself, not to us.
I like whatever this genre is, kind of spoken word lyrics over an insistent beat with a sarcastic kind of dismissive quality. It actually reminds me of when you interviewed Joe on our show last year.
Yeah.
Joe Keery. And he has that song, Basic Being Basic.
Oh, yeah.
Where that's my big exchange. I want simple pleasures, friends who have my back. Everyone has secrets, but not everyone can fool a man like that. It set me really.
Yeah, both of these songs are dealing with the uncomfortable nature of fame, how to be in public, how to be a person, and are both very much pointing the finger at the self of being like, I'm not necessarily being a pleasant person and making the right choices for myself at this moment.
Totally.
I'm not sure that Harry Styles is fulfilling the thesis of this album. Are we kissing enough?
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to lose ourselves to dance, right?
We're supposed to be discoing occasionally. I guess we are discoing occasionally and maybe overly concerned with what's going on in our interior life. Let's take a quick break and come back to see if we might disco a bit more.
Redeem your Ladbrokes on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock!
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get Ladbrokes.
All right, Nate, so we're working it out on the dance floor. We are being maybe a little raw and honest, sometimes even cynical. I think that's particularly true on the song Season 2 Weight Loss. He's holding out, hoping you will love him now. What do you make of this?
This might be my favorite track on the album. Huh. For one thing, I love when a song's title doesn't appear in the lyrics of the song. And we never get the lyrics Season 2 Weight Loss here, but it's a great title.
What does it evoke?
The title?
Yeah.
I think we're back at the idea of fame and its pressures.
Yeah.
If I'm understanding it right, Season 2 Weight Loss, that's like, you're on a show and it goes really well and you get renewed and you're a cast member and you show up for season two and all of a sudden you've got your like GLP-1s and your personal trainer and your nutritionist and you're like half the size and everyone's like, what just happened? Chris Pratt in Parks and Rec, right? Maybe that's an example of this.
So I
feel like it's about the scrutiny, the pressure that someone in the limelight experiences.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's super clear in the first verse. He says, aren't you for sale if you're cashing in cold?
Mm.
And it's hard to tell when the thoughts are my own.
Yeah.
It's like, who am I making art for? Like, well, for what purpose am I doing this thing? Is it my own inclinations? Is it because I got to cash in?
The sense of self-doubt that we heard in those lyrics is mirrored in the drums on this track. And that's the other thing that makes it one of my favorites on the album. The drums are so good.
Aren't you for sale if you're cashing in?
They are courtesy of Tom Skinner, stalwart of the London jazz scene.
Hmm.
He got his start playing in the incredible group Sons of Kemet with Shabaka Hutchings and Theon Cross. You can hear his characteristic frenetic drumming style on a track like Play Mass.
It's cool. Really both contemporary and also very throwback.
And he later teamed up with Tom York and Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead to form the trio The Smile. But he's providing drums not only on this track, but on a number of the tracks, giving them this kind of exciting, unpredictable, propulsive live feel.
Well, this is to my point about the ingredients being so good on this album. Like, there's not a lot happening on this song, Season 2 Weight Loss. You have these really great drums. And a lot of the disco elements, if you will, a lot of them are very organic. There's a lot of live drumming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of live electric bass. And then the synthetic elements are often these modular synths that Kid Harpoon is using. There's these big brassy synth lines as well. But it really is a mixture of these organic and electronic textures, and they blend so well. I want to just listen closely to those fine ingredients, if you will, on Season 2 Weight Loss. Gorgeous synths. Very basic. That great drumming. A little bit of bass. Some really subtle pads. And Harry. This is like five ingredients. There's so much pop music. It's just stacks and stacks and stacks. Hundreds of tracks.
Totally.
This is really plain. And I think that is trying to reflect the vulnerability that he's trying to portray, even if through a collage of non sequiturs that occasionally land a perfect line. He does get vulnerable on this album, for sure. There are a couple of slower tracks. One really gorgeous ballad called Coming Up Roses really took my heart. Begins with this lovely orchestra.
Tell me your fears, I've turned back the clocks, it's that time of year. If we stay the course, we could get it right. But I'm not devoid of an appetite.
I told you, this guy's hungry. He's not devoid of an appetite. This song was originally written as a holiday track. He says that I've turned back the clock. It's that time of the year. He was trying to write a Christmas song and it didn't turn into a Christmas song, and it instead turned into the sort of central ballad on the album.
Just for tonight, let's go hangover chasing. And I'll talk your ear off about why it's safe as I fumble my words and fall flat on my face through the truth.
This is a song about dancing or aspiring to go out dancing that is not a dance song.
That's true, isn't it? I love that.
How about that line, just for tonight, let's go hangover chasing?
Yeah, that definitely stood out.
It's like, we're going to go out and have one special, amazing night dancing together. And it's a really raw song. He's like, I'm going to fumble through this. I'm going to say all the wrong things. And I hope that we'll somehow like end up at the end of this night, even if we're not the right couple, that you're just going to like lay there with your head on my chest. It's a very beautiful, intimate song.
The intimacy is compounded by the delicacy of the arrangement. All of those pizzicato strings that we hear throughout, they're like really clashing with some of those lyrics. You know, chasing a hangover, that sounds like you would have some banging, you know, synth bass and 808 drums, but instead it's like delicate, light strings.
For such a beautifully arranged song with all of the expense going into working with a live orchestra, it's a surprisingly raw track.
Does all of this seem to be bringing us closer? Am I backseat in your life? Judging while you drive.
What a curious state of relationship, and what a fantastic lyric. Does all this seem to be bringing us closer, or am I backseating your life, judging while you drive? Oh, I mean, I know I've been in that position before. I don't know if in a relationship I've been in that position before, but you know it when it's like you're stuck in the backseat and you're watching this person drive and you're like, what is going on? Am I going to survive this drive?
Totally.
And yet he's embracing it in this, and I think it's really beautiful, except for maybe this little moment at the end that suggests a darker turn.
Ooh. that was a dark moment. Look at that. I didn't catch that. That's cool.
Some amazing dualities throughout this record.
Yeah.
You know, we're waffling between songs about kissing, maybe the wrong person, songs about disco. If there is one song that perhaps unifies all of this together, I think it's the song American Girls. Those American Girls. Mid-tempo dance song, very simple arrangement, live drums, synth sequence, Moog bass, and this really beautiful, almost out of tune, upright piano. There's this combination of dance elements, but also, again, very much like, you know, this is somebody who's just come off of Harry's House, singer-songwritery stuff, and a track that on the surface seems to be about how beautiful are American girls. Harry Styles likes to date a lot of them, it seems. It might have a nod to LCD Sound System tracks like American Scum or Drunk Girls, but I don't think that it's either of those. This song is actually, he has said, about watching his friends all get married, and they've all married American women, and feeling sort of wistful or really wanting to be able to follow in their footsteps of like, I gotta figure out how to have an adult relationship and settle down a little bit. There's a bit of a double meaning happening here.
Yeah. This to me is the as it was of this album for a few reasons. One, I think it's poised to be maybe the breakout hit of the album. It's not the first single, that was Aperture, but
they did just release a music video today. We are currently taping within less than 24 hours of the album's release, and clearly they're trying to push it.
There's also this ambiguity in the lyrics that's kind of supported by the music. Like you said, American Girl, that title might sound sort of bright and optimistic, but then when you listen to it, it's more ambivalent. You know, it's like not really clear that this is something to celebrate, you know, falling in love with an American girl. There's kind of a wistfulness to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like As It Was had a lot of the same qualities. In this world, it's just us. You know, it's not the same as it was. In this world, it's just us. You know, it's not the same as it was. In this world, it's just us. You know, it's not the same as it was. They both had these unresolving chord progressions that kind of just cycle in perpetuity. This could be a big hit, but it's not necessarily a hit that's going to make you, you know, smile from ear to ear. Like a lot of this album, it's a little more melancholy and up in the air.
It makes me think that perhaps that this album is not a dance album, but rather a record about what dancing is for. It's about the place that we can let go of whatever we're holding on to. And if you go back to great chic hits of the past, those songs, those dance floor songs were very much poptimistic. They were, let's have good times, right? Let's everybody dance. These songs by Harry Styles, on the other hand, are about what he is undoing internally with his therapist and letting out on the dance floor and using that as a stage for songwriting.
Harry Styles is one of those artists that I feel like is kind of important for us, Charlie. I see him as occupying a role in our story to a degree, as someone who forced us to challenge some of the assumptions that we had at the outset of this project.
For
when we were more like outsiders to the pop world. And I mean, when we did our first episode on One Direction, we compared them to modern day castrati.
Oh gosh.
I know, but I'm excavating the past. Yeah. It's out there. You can find it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we probably had some good insights, but I think we generally had this attitude of sort of like holding our noses while we listened to this music. Mm. And Harry Styles in One Direction sort of forced us to confront that, especially as they grew and matured in their respective solo careers. And Styles in particular was very vocal about the importance of teen girls as an audience, as people who shape the tastes of the listening public and platform artists that are important.
Oh, yeah.
So I think what he has to say is always interesting because his vantage point is from so deep within the pop machine that his insights and his self-reflection are valuable not only as like musical statements unto themselves, but sort of as a chance to step back and think about this weird world that we've been studying for the last decade plus.
You could say that he helped us widen our aperture.
Ooh, you did it, Charlie. Okay, we've done this whole episode about dance, and we haven't talked about the most dance-related news surrounding this album.
What's that?
Which is Harry Styles' performance at the recent Brit Awards.
Oh, it was good. I enjoyed
it. Well, I agree, but a lot of people didn't.
Really?
This was very kind. Like, can Harry dance? Like, this seems to be the question on everyone's mind right now. I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, no. He can dance. I mean, I think what he's doing is it's like, just when he's sort of critiquing the idea of, like, DJs not dancing anymore, I think he is showing us how to dance. Like, the whole thing begins as a warm-up. He's stretching his neck. He's going back and forth. He's loosening up his hands. He's finding a way to help people feel comfortable on the dance floor. It's about freedom. It's about expression. It's not about necessarily excellence. It's about inviting other people in. And that whole performance, he's surrounded by other dancers and it's all a little loose. It's not that like perfectly in sync, perfectly timed kind of choreo. It's permission to dance as much as it is a display of dance.
Well, I'm dying to hear from everyone listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, go find that performance of Aperture at the 2026 Brit Awards and tell us, is this brilliant or hacky? And that might go for the rest of this album, actually. I'm curious what everyone thinks of these songs. We've been pretty laudatory. Does everyone agree? Let's find out.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rena Cruz, edited by Alyssa Soap, engineered by Brad McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, video by Nick Rips, music by Jossie Adams and Zach Tenorio of Arc Iris. Remember the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Once you've formulated your opinion on the aforementioned Brit Awards performance and the album in general, share it with us on social media at Switched on Pop, and also on our Substack chat. You can become a member of Substack by finding a link on our website, switchedonpop.com, or in the show notes as well, right, Chuck?
Yeah, that's right. I want to hear what you're thinking about. And we're going to catch you again next Tuesday. And until then, thanks for listening.